Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
Well, I'm wonderful as usual.
Well, we're in the throes of summer. I mean, golly, you know.
<it's... laughs> I mean, the temperature is so high that, people are throwing water on themselves. I mean, they're taking a bottle and just putting it on their head and letting it come down.
Oh, geez.
I mean, it is hot out.
Well, it won't be too long before we're talking about how chilly and how cold it is. You know, the Halloween. I've seen Halloween candy in stores. Literally, I've seen Halloween candy in all my like Instagram feeds and TikTok and all that. I'm starting now to get all the fall recipes that are showing up and people saying, "Oh, this is
fall
how you
recipes."
Make pie. Yes, yeah. I've even had some Christmas things show up. I'm like, it is way too early. But it's there.
People have just lost their minds.
Yes. You thought I was crazy for rushing the holidays? Oh, no.
Yeah.
These people got
well,
me beat.
Everybody else is rushing, too.
Yeah.
Well, I'm waiting for the state fair to open because, every year
they
have all the new things, and we'll know about it very quickly when they open. And they had a contest the other day out there, and I haven't been able to follow up on it, but a little 8-year-old boy won. He cooked his cherry pie and beat all these adults.
Really? Oh.
Yes, a cherry pie.
Oh, I bet that's delicious.
So I'm really impressed.
Yeah, and he was 8?
8 years old.
Wow, that's impressive.
It's very impressive.
Mm.
I can't imagine an 8-year-old that I know that could do that.
Yeah, I know, really. Golly, I can't wait for the list of all the food to come out. I love hearing about what's going to be there.
Oh, I do, too. I can't wait either. And they said there's a lot of new things this year.
Really?
I don't know who thinks them all up. I just don't.
I know. It's like, how do you reinvent, all the things that we already love? I'm sitting here thinking, you know, what would I do to, like, like chicken or something? It's like, I can't think of anything. But they come up with these genius ideas, and then all of a sudden you taste it.
There's so many great things out there. Just, oh, my.
They do, and there's so much of it. Yes.
And there'll be, I don't know how many new entries this year. But I know that they're getting ready.
Yeah.
And these people have worked all year perfecting their recipes.
Yes. You got to earn
so
your way.
It'll be
in.
Exciting.
Oh, it's going to be great. I love it. This is like almost like my favorite time of year when we start coming up on state fair time. Oh, it's
right.
The best.
Oh. And just knowing that Big Texas waving, I mean,
yes.
It's pretty big.
Yeah.
I mean, I wonder if people think people in Texas are crazy. I mean, we have Big Tex with boots the size of, Dallas. I mean, we've got all this going on.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah. And it's like, I know you've told the story in past years, but it's just like the whole story behind Big Tex. It's like, it's not just like a big thing. I mean, this guy has been through some situations. He's been through, fire and COVID. And,
he's been through so much.
Yes.
It gets up every time. And, remember when Big Tex first started, he didn't even have a voice.
Yeah.
He didn't even have a voice those first 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And then some bright person said, well, whoever heard of a Texan not being able to talk?
Exactly.
So they put his voice in. He's had it ever since. And the company that makes all the denim Levi's and all this, I mean, it takes them a long time. To make a pair of jeans for somebody that big.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing.
It's a weird sentence, but yes, that is true.
It is true. And every year I get a thrill just, at the entrance. Mm-hmm. Before you ever go in, I'm, really impressed just by seeing him.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's...
And knowing it's so impressive.
He really sets the stage. You know what you get if you've never been to the state fair before. Like, say somebody, is visiting or moves to Texas or something like that. They go to the fair for the first time. It is, when you see that thing, it's like, oh my gosh, we're fixing to do something epic. And so
that's right. We're fixing to do something really important.
Yes.
And there's so many phases to the fair.
Yeah.
I mean, they still make quilts. They still make jelly. They still make pies. They're going to judge all this. They have the animal judging. They have the car shows. I mean, it's bigger and bigger than anybody could imagine.
I know it.
And then you get on the midway, and the food is just from one end to the other.
Oh, I know it. You could eat your way into next week. And sometimes we
you
do.
You really could. And everybody just goes down there, stays all day, goes home, and they're almost sick by the time they get home.
Yeah.
Between riding the rides and eating. I'd rather eat than ride the rides.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. And, you know, if you try to eat all the things that you want to in one day, you like you say, you're going to be so sick. You almost have to, like, plan to go a couple of days just to take it all in. It's a
You know, all the kids do. You know, all the teenagers, they will go more than one time. Of course, teenagers, their stomachs are tough, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, they can do all this without anything happening to them.
Yeah, they can eat churros and then get on that Tilt-A-Whirl.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh.
I can't. Not anymore.
I would rather just stand down there and eat while they're doing all that.
Exactly. Yes. Wow, it's the best. It is really it's a magical time. I can't wait till the list comes out and hear everything we have to look
forward
to. I
can't either. I'm checking it every day to see what day the list will come out before they open.
Yeah.
And I'll be right on it when we find out what the new things are at the State Fair of Texas.
Oh, good. I'm so looking forward to that. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And when you go to the state fair, you better take some money, too, because...
Oh, you better take a lot of money. Cash, folks. Cash spends at the state fair. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you're going to need about $200, $250.
Yeah, yeah, at least. You may have to do some new investments in order to go there, but it's worth it.
That's right. It is expensive, but it is so worth it.
Yeah.
It is so good.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's once a year, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Just step right up and spend the money and have a good time.
Yeah. And there's no place else in the country you can go to something like that. It's not like you can, this is just like something, oh, we'll just go like tomorrow or we'll just go next week or next month or something like that. You can't really put it on. You got to do it when it's there. There's no place else to go. And of course, this is the perfect place for it. So, you know, because everything we do
is only in Texas, because you have a state fair this big. This magnificent.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just only in Texas.
Something to be proud of, for sure.
That's right.
All right, so speaking of investments and money and financials, how are we this week? What's some
well,
news?
You know, we had bid on a policy in July, and the lady was iffy and all this stuff, and it was a 30-month LE. And the lady has passed away. We didn't
Whoa,
even get it.
Really?
Now, I cannot imagine... She went to the hospital and never came out.
Oh, wow.
And we were waiting to hear, you know, what she was going to decide. And I swear she passed away, and they were showing 30 months, and she didn't even have a week.
Goodness.
Didn't even have a week or two. I mean.
Wow.
I'm serious. It was just like a month later when she went to the hospital after we bid on it, and she passed away.
Oh, my gosh.
And I don't know if it was the cancer or something else. But I was in shock. I still am, really, to think that we'd bid it. We thought, well, it's a pretty good policy, but you know, we didn't think it was the best in the world, and it would have been if we'd only known what her situation was.
Wow, that sounds like
we're bidding a lot of policies. Competition is tough right now, so we're really having to bid hard. We've got 4 or 5 million out, and another person, they didn't get what they wanted, so they pulled their bid. It was a $3 million policy that we were bidding, hoping we were going to get it. And the person said, oh, no, if I don't get another $200,000, I'm not going to do it. We'd said, you know, this is all we can do and make a profit for our clients.
Wow.
So she kept her policy.
Really?
We've had that happen a lot lately.
What's the deal? Is it just, are people getting information from someplace else, or do they just think that they can go rogue?
I think somebody is telling them they can get 100%.
Wow.
And, you know, you've got 2 or 3 brokers between us and them, and that ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, you can't get 100% You can get a reasonable amount, you know. Our bids are usually 65-68% of face value.
Yeah, well, see, that's not bad.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it is.
We know some other people that will offer them 30 cents on the dollar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they buy a lot of policies.
Yeah, and those are not, those are the ones that, you know, where you see people traveling all over the place and, you know, they're not expected to mature for, you know, 20, 30, 40 years or so. And so,
oh, yeah, they're not going to get their money for years to come.
Yeah. I mean, geez, it's weird when people start playing, games like that with policies. It makes you almost wonder. It's like, were they actually serious to begin with? Or, I mean, because there's an industry standard.
Usually these people need the money. They're going through a lot of cancer treatment. They need to reimburse themselves. And several people have told me, They went, it was $100,000 right off, and I believe that. Because I've always said it's $100,000 a month when you're dealing with cancer. But these people, you know, are strange. You just don't know what they're going to do. I mean, if you needed the money, would you let $200,000 stand in your way when you're going to get $2 million?
Yeah, exactly. It seems like the ends don't seem to justify the means for some reason.
It doesn't. Because it's a big policy, you're going to get $2 million, and that ought to take care of everything you need. But yet they want $200,000 more. We couldn't do it.
Yeah,
couldn't make the numbers work.
And it's like, even if they, you know, if they're quote shopping around or trying to get somebody else to pay more, they're going to run into the same thing. They're going to hit a threshold where even other people are going to say the same thing. It's just like, no, we're out. And so it's not like they're pitting one against the other. At this point, they're pricing themselves out of the process.
Yes, they are. They're pricing themselves out of the market because we pay more than anybody, as far as I know. I don't think there's anybody that's paying a higher amount.
Yeah.
And, you know, we always make sure that the client's going to make money, that it's not going to be some little piddling amount. And, of course, that's what the broker doesn't care whether we make money or the client makes money. The broker, lots of times, will raise the price where they make more, not their client or us, but where they make more.
Oh, geez.
Sometimes I feel like the broker makes a lot of the money.
Yeah, and that tends to throw off the numbers as well. It's not always the policy.
It will. It certainly will. We had one the other day that the broker's fee was $85,000.
Good Lord.
And we just said, that's ridiculous.
Really?
I mean, who the heck ever heard of a broker getting $85,000?
Wow. That's
a lot of money.
It is. Wow. It almost makes you think, well, geez, you know, maybe I'm in the wrong
lot of
work.
We're all on the wrong end of things.
Yeah.
It
wow.
Oh, gosh. But anyway, the policies that we're bidding on, we've got a lot of policies to bid on. It's just, are we going to get them? Or is, Coventry going to come in at the last minute and buy them?
Didn't it used to be at one point that a lot of these other companies had like a big budget, and first quarter they kind of like blew the whole budget, and then after that it kind of stabilized the rest of the market? Is that still the case?
But that company that was doing that, Magna out of Austin, they're out of this game now because they were so bad. They were buying anything that moved. 2 years ago, they bought up every policy they could possibly buy. And, they couldn't do all the things. And so they fired the president, the vice president.
Oh, wow.
I mean, everybody got fired over there at Magna.
Ooh.
And it's a big company, but they fired everybody.
Wow.
Because I could have told them it wasn't going to work.
Yeah.
You cannot guarantee on a mutual fund. They created a mutual fund. And then I told them they were going to get 8 to 10% guaranteed. That's an impossibility.
Yeah, I'm just running some quick math in my brain.
They're not sick.
Yeah.
If they'd bought the policies of people that were sick, yes. But these were people that were, they were just buying their policies.
Yeah.
Well, they may live 20 years.
Yeah. Wow.
So that's not a great idea.
Yeah, that worked out well, I see.
Yeah, I mean, especially after everybody lost their job. And they go, what happened to us?
Wow.
And they just walked in there and said, we're going to clean house. Y'all have made such a mess of this.
Yeah. Gosh. You know, you almost wonder, can you even recover after something like that? Because now they're stuck with it.
I don't know. It's going to take them a while.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like they can
turn
around. They
started by cleaning up their mess.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I guess it just shows, again, it's kind of like compare and contrast that, you know, you're hyper-focused and there's other people that are not. And so that's why it's such a profitable venture. Because when you look at things, I don't want to, I almost said this just saying it, but it should really be more of a question. When you look at, a policy or you look at, how things are going, whether you're even beforehand, before you start bidding, do you have a number where it's like, okay, if this gets up to this line, we're out? Or is it just kind of like see kind of
no,
what
we
happens?
Know when it gets to a certain one, there's several this last week that when it got to a certain month, we said, we're out. Mm. We can't go any higher.
All right.
Our clients can't make any money. We can't make any money. Y'all need to just go ahead.
Yeah.
You know? And that happens sometimes. Especially when we're having to watch the premium to make sure it's low. We're having to watch how many months it is. And we're watching all this, and then the thing's just going up and up, you know.
Mm.
And we're going, what the heck? And
yeah.
We're bidding on one right now that we haven't done in a long time is the Lou Gehrig's disease, that the guy's really in bad shape. But he's got four policies. I don't know how he's going to do all this.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, he's got four. He's obviously rather wealthy, but he's got four, and we're only bidding on one of them.
Hmm.
The others have too much premium, too high, all kinds of problems.
So one out of
somebody else good. May like them, but not for us.
Hmm. You know, I know
premium is really important.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's you don't want to. And some policies don't have any premium, right? I might be
we
speaking
love
out
it.
Term.
When we get one that says no premium, we put it out immediately, and then the other one. Is they have a rider on a lot of these policies. And if you've got a rider on there, it says you can call upon that rider, and then the insurance company pays all your premiums if you're ill.
Wow.
If you said, I have a terminal illness, I can no longer pay premiums, they'll cover it for you. So when we buy that kind of policy, it's a done deal.
I bet those go fast.
They do, because when we tell people there's no premium whatsoever, they do get excited. I do, too.
Yeah.
Because that brings your cost down to almost nothing.
Yeah.
You have no liability. If you don't have premiums, you don't have anything to worry about.
Cost goes down,
because
profit goes up.
Because it doesn't matter if it goes over, it's not going to cost you one dime.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, gosh, any time where your cost goes down and your profits go up, it's a win-win for everybody, really.
That's right. We love it when the profit goes up, cost goes down. Everybody gets paid.
Yeah.
That reminds me, the Mandelbaum policy, that $4 million that matured three or four weeks ago, we finally got the death certificate, and we got it from the family.
Really?
And thank goodness, since it was in New York, we were having a hard time, and the family came forward, got us the death certificate. It's on the way to the insurance company right now.
All right. Finally.
So in about 12 days, everybody's going to have money again in their account.
Good deal.
A lot of it.
How much was that one? That was a big one, right?
$4 million.
Wow. Yeah.
Can you imagine if you got $4 million in your account?
Yeah, I can.
Yeah.
Actually.
It's pretty sweet.
That is sweet. Golly.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. And the
and
family.
I've already got people calling to say, put me in the next policy.
Mm-hmm.
Because they all know it's going to be in the bank, very shortly.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's great. And that's how it works. It's like one policy matures, you get paid, you reinvest. And the more policies people are in, the more that they're making and the more they're reinvesting, which means the more that they're making, which means the more that they can reinvest. It's kind of like this, I guess, the cycle that just keeps, it's like a snowball that just, you know, rolls down the hill and just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. The more policies, the better. How many policies would you, on average, I know everybody's different, but on average, how many would you say somebody should be in to really do really well with life settlements?
Well, if they're a large investor, they could have 20 policies.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We've got, a lot of people have got 20. Got some that have got 10. Then I've got some that have got one or two. Hmm. Those have all matured, and they're sitting there with just the last ones, and they're going to retire.
Hmm.
They've got all this cash
sitting
there.
When somebody's in a situation like that, because you said that they're going to retire, it makes me wonder, as people... let me see how to say this. As people go through the journey of life settlements, when they get closer and closer to, you know, say, you know, 60, 70, something like that, they get towards, you know, the retirement age, do they start to back down from life settlements and switch over to annuities? Is that maybe the strategy?
I think when they're about 74, 75, they do.
Hmm. All right. And the reason is because it's consistent?
We have one client right now. That is sick. He's battling cancer himself.
Mm.
And we've really got him in our thoughts and prayers.
Yeah. Wow. I'm sorry to hear about that.
Yeah, we've known him a long time. He's one of the good guys, as I always say.
Yeah.
And so anyway, that's a bad journey.
Yeah, it's difficult, and you've been through that before. You've seen friends.
We know about them, and it's you know, there's not a lot we could do, you know, because you know everybody says that there's all these cancers that they're curing, but we're not having it. You know, I mean, sometimes you know it's faster than we think, and sometimes it's slower than we think.
Yeah. And kind of sort of on, along generally this the same lines, I don't want to get too far off track, but in that kind of a situation, if somebody needs to sell their policy, you buy them direct, right?
We will buy them direct. Like if somebody anywhere in Texas has a policy, if it's 100,000 or more and they're sick, they've got cancer, they can call us. Send us their medical information, and we'll see what we can give for it. And we can buy it in less than 30 days.
Hmm.
We just have to make sure you really have cancer, and what whether it's stage 3, 4, or what stage it is.
And this kind of...
You can go to the big companies, and I guarantee they won't give you as much as we would.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it kinda
the big
comes...
companies are going to give you 27 cents.
Yeah. Ooh. Wow. Maybe it almost kind of comes back full circle for what you were talking about before at the beginning, where, you know, you see a lot of brokers that will, you know, start playing games and they'll start, you know, wanting more and kicking it back and saying, you know, we got to have more just so that they can make more profit. When you buy it direct, that takes that whole thing out of the picture.
Takes all altogether. That out. It's gone.
Yeah.
And so then we can give more, we can do more for the people if we don't have all those middlemen in there crowding us,
yeah.
You know, crowding us, saying, you know, well, we need this much. And lots of times they'll say, well, yeah, it's a good bid, but we need some extra for us,
oh.
You know, us,
yeah.
The brokers.
Hmm.
And sometimes there's a couple of brokers between us and them.
Jeez.
I like it when we're direct, but it's not always that way.
Yeah, it's bad enough when there's one broker, but you start adding, you know, two or three.
Yeah,
it's
when
like,
you've got two or
wow.
three, it's a tough deal. And sometimes things do not close because of the broker.
Yeah.
And I don't think the owners of the policy know what the brokers are doing. I don't think they know that the brokers lots of times will hold up a sale of their policy because they didn't get as much as they wanted.
Yeah. You almost wonder, you know, from the other side, from the seller's standpoint, if they actually knew what was happening. Would they say, you know, look, dude, this is like serious business to me. This might be a game to you as a broker, but to me as a policyholder, this is serious. I need to, you know, do something here, and you playing games is not helping. I wonder how many people.
I don't think they know all that. I think.
Golly.
You know, they went to this broker, and the broker said, I'll handle that for you.
Yeah.
I'll get that sold for you.
Yeah.
And then they have another broker in between.
Oh, geez.
And sometimes it's a tough sale.
Yeah.
And then sometimes they go directly to one of the providers that we use. The owner goes himself, and that's the best deals. When the owner picks up the phone and goes to the providers, because the provider then, we'll make a deal. You know, they'll say, look, I think I could sell that for you. And they'll send us the information naturally. We'll scoop it up.
I bet that's a much cleaner deal when that happens.
Yes, it is. But it doesn't happen every day because all these people have a little old broker in their hometown that they used to buy it originally. So they're going to go back to that little old broker. That little broker is it's just frothing at the mouth to get the business, you know?
Yeah. Wow.
So there's a lot of competition that we have to deal with.
Yeah, no doubt. And what's actually pretty cool, though, for investors is that no matter how fierce the competition is, you do have that threshold that you refuse to go over because it starts eating into profit. And as we can tell, there's plenty of other, you know, companies that will buy any kind of policy. So you don't have to worry about, you know, somebody not buying a particular policy. You know, there's plenty of people to do that. But when you are putting together the strategy for bidding, you always have the investors in mind, and you're always very cautious to make sure that you don't cross that line to make sure that the investment is still profitable, no matter how difficult it gets.
That's right. Because remember, when we first started out, you know, a lot of these people weren't telling us all the facts. And now we check and double check everything. We don't just listen to anybody else. We check it ourselves.
Yeah.
And that's the way you have to do it.
Yeah. Well, especially when you're talking with, you know, about, you know, $3 and $4 million policies, you can't just
take somebody's word.
And
when it's $3 or $4 million, we're ordering everything they have on that person. All the medical, all, you know, whatever hospitals they've been in. We want to see everything.
Yeah.
We don't want just a report. We want to see the doctor's report.
Yeah.
What does the doctor say? You know, how much time does he think they have?
Yeah. It's well informed. It's like, you know, there's a lot of information available, and you take it all in. You check everything 2, 3, 4 times.
You have to.
9 ways to
it's
Sunday.
It's just too much money not to.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about annuities for a second. I assume there's still bonuses in play, and
yes, now the fixed rates are fixing to come down here in a couple of weeks. You know, the fixed rates have been 5.8, 5.9. A lot of the fixed rates on those small policies, you know, those 3 and 5 year policies, those are fixing to come down because you know, rates are falling. But everything else is going to stay the same. We've still got the 13% bonus. We've still got all the great things that they've added this year. You know, and that one fund, I was looking at it this week. It has treasuries in it. It has all kinds of really good things in it.
Really?
Yeah.
Treasuries.
I was reading all about it. So it's got a lot of really top-of-the-line things in it that are safe.
Huh. Should we explain what that means a little bit, or is that kind of like on a case-by-case basis? And
well, if on that particular fund, if you invest in that, you know, that's the safest of the safe.
Mm.
You know?
And
of course, remember, we're never directly investing in anything.
Yeah.
Remember that. We're never directly in the stock market on annuities. Remember, you cannot outlive your money on an annuity. If you take a payout, say, okay, I want this payout for this many years. It doesn't matter if the annuity runs out, they will still pay you until that day, whatever day it is. If it's 10 years, 15, whatever you've set up. And remember, it's always tax deferred. You don't pay taxes till you take it out. Not a lot of investments are that way. where you don't pay taxes till you take it out.
Yeah.
Most of them, it doesn't matter. You have to pay while it's in there. But with an annuity, you don't.
And that's,
you can do all kinds of things with an annuity.
I mean, it's important, you know, thinking about taxes, because, boy, you start talking, you know, taxes on things, it can eat up a lot of money real fast. And just to
it
know
can
that.
Eat up a lot of money.
Yeah.
And it's compound interest. You've got your beneficiaries right there. It's not going to go through probate. It's not going to be part of your estate. You could cash it right away. Let's say that it's for your granddaughter. Well, if you pass away, she'd get it in about 12 days.
Wow, that's fast. And there's no contesting
or
it either.
If you want to do something for your grandchildren, it works out very nice.
Hmm. And the annuity is separate from the estate, so it's protected.
That's right. And I just got a guy's statement, and last year he was upset, but he didn't understand the two-year deal. You know, some people understand that, some don't. You know, I did some 1 years, but I did some 2 years. So you don't get paid till that second year.
Mm.
Anyway, we just got his statement. He made $15,000 this year, so he's going to be in great shape.
Yeah, that's not bad.
He's going to be happy.
Do you see, as you do more and more 2 years, do you see any advantage? Is there any?
It looks to me like the two-year, they average it out. So if 1 year didn't do any, very good, then you've got that second year.
Okay.
So if you average it out for over a two-year period, it may be better.
Hmm. Yeah.
I want to see a few more of them before I make a final statement on that.
Yeah, I know that you started talking about, you know, doing some 2 years to see how they go. Anytime you're doing, you know, we do a lot of A/B testing ourselves, and so, you know, sometimes, you know, you make calculated changes like this. Instead of 1 year going to 2 years, it's still a safe, conservative investment. It's not like you're going out and going crazy and going rogue and you're doing unreasonable things. It's just a matter of, you know, is it in 2 years or is it in one? It's still the same thing. It's still a safe, conservative investment. So, you know, I wonder as time goes on, as you do more and more 2 years, I wonder how that's going to flush out.
Well, we won't know till we try it a little bit.
Yeah.
But an annuity is the safest thing on the earth, as far as I'm concerned, because it's with a life insurance company. They've got all the money in the world. It's not like that bank the other day. This banker, president of the bank, took $43 million out of the bank.
Whoa.
And went and did crypto.
Really?
$43 million. He broke the dadgum bank.
No.
Oh, my gosh. And stockholders lost $9
million. Oh.
And FDIC said they would make the depositors whole on it.
Oh,
gave him 24 years.
Wow.
Why would a banker steal the money out of the bank?
That's just crazy. And he put it in crypto?
He put it in crypto, $43
million. Oh,
and nobody
God.
Caught him until it was too late.
Wow.
They don't have any. I would have thought they had some kind of a checks and balances where a president of the bank couldn't write a check for $43
million. Yeah, you would think that would throw up a red flag.
That is scary.
Yeah, it is. Wow.
He broke the bank. I mean, it's just real simple.
And the odds of them getting that back is, what, next to nothing?
Like a snowball.
Wow. I mean, crypto, you might as well set it on fire. It's not like you can go and sell something and, you know.
Yeah, it's not like a dollar bill.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, I mean, this mysterious money that nobody understands.
Wow. Yeah, that's the thing. Nobody understands. And to do something so risky, you know, it just seems like that's.
I mean, if you'd taken the board of directors and said, let's have the bank invest in it, he'd have been safe. He'd been fine. But he did it for himself, not for the bank.
Wow. And he did it all in one shot?
I don't know. It just said he stole $43 million and invested it in crypto.
Wow.
And, of course, apparently the crypto didn't work out. So then they found out they're missing $43 million.
Wow.
I mean, missing in action.
Jeez.
I would have went there. I'd have been choking him right there on the floor. I'd been just choking him down and saying, give me the money. Give us the money.
I'm shocked. I'm shocked that, one, he had the nerve to do it. Two, he was so crazy he put it in crypto. And three, the fact that he was able to. I know sometimes you tell these, you know, crazy stories about things that people do, and it's like, oh, they've been, you know, taking money a little here and a little there for, you know, 10 or 15 years or whatever it is. But wow, it sounds like this was just a big.
I mean, I don't know what happened to him.
Oh.
I mean, they surely checked his references before they hired him.
You would think.
I didn't know that a banker had that much power to write a check for that amount. I did not know it. I thought they had to have two or three signatures on a check.
Yeah.
Over $10,000. Used to, over $10,000, it required two signatures at the bank.
Yeah.
And yet this guy stole $43 million, invested it in crypto, and did not come back. would at least got all the money back. And then they said the stockholders lost $9
million. Oh.
The depositors are going to be made whole, but it broke the bank.
Oh, jeez. I mean,
wow! I just can't imagine.
I'm shocked. I mean, the spread between $10,000 and $34 million,
$43 million,
not even close.
Wow.
Oh wow! I don't even know how that happened. I'm like you. It's just you would think there'd be some checks and balances.
That high.
I know.
you know, I mean, and nobody noticed it going out.
Wow.
I mean, you know, you would have thought somebody, a comptroller of the bank. Surely somebody would have said, wait a minute, wait a minute.
Wow.
I mean, when that check appeared, I don't know, he must have had a way to cover it up for a while.
Clearly. I'm speechless almost because it seems like that is just too crazy to even be true. I know it is, but it's just like, it's just so strange.
I still think they should have had him on the ground just beating the tar out of him.
And choke him right
say,
there.
Where's the money? Where's the money?
Yeah. I mean, wow. So you don't have to worry about anything like that with an annuity. And we're talking about fixed annuities. We're not talking about variables,
that's
right?
That's right. We're talking about fixed index annuities. They're not variable annuities. It's not the kind the brokers sell over at the stock house. And these are backed by insurance companies that are worth billions and that have been in business a long, long time, like 50 years, 100 years, you know, and they've paid off all these years. I mean, you could go back and check everything they've done for years and years.
And the way you always put it is that annuities mirror the stock market, but they're not actually in it. So what it means
is
that
exactly right. They mirror it.
Mm-hmm.
But then it has a stop gap if it goes down, and yours doesn't go down ever.
Yeah. So if you like the excitement of the stock market, you get that. But if the stock market tanks, there's a safety net to catch you so you don't wake up and lose
it. You've got that safety net that will stop gap it, and you won't lose a dime.
Yeah.
You might not make anything that month, but it won't cost you.
I mean, gosh, it sounds like the best of all worlds, really. It's.
I think an annuity is. And right now, it's a big business. All these power players, they're saying, buy annuities through us. Mm. And they're worth billions. And they want to write a few annuities.
And you say, what, there's 14 options to choose from? Or?
Yes, there's a lot of options, a lot of things you could do. You can take a conservative approach. You can put part of it in fixed, which I'm not recommending that. Because it's safe, so you know, go for it and try to make some money.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. So either way, whether people go life settlements or annuities, both of them are conservative and have you have that thing that if something happens, to shake up the stock market, and all of a sudden we wake up again, and you know, say Monday morning the bottom falls out and they lose 1,000 points, and you know whatever happens, you'll be fine with an annuity or a life settlement. Neither of those are affected by anything that happens, which is good for.
That's right. They're not involved in the stock market. They don't have the risk. If people want risk, tell them to stay in the stock market.
Yeah.
They'll get it. But if they want to get conservative, get away from the stock market, this is the place to go. This is the way to do it. And real estate right now is not the place to go.
Oh.
I mean, we read about all this real estate every day.
Yeah.
And it's not looking good.
Mm-mm. Mm. Yeah, you've told some horror stories about real estate. Just, you know, even office buildings.
I read every week where these big insurance companies are having to foreclose. All these real estate companies, they loaned all this money to these people to build these huge office buildings. Now they're empty, and now they've had to take them back.
Yeah, yeah.
We talked about the one in Fort Worth, that 40-story. Oh. I'm in shock. I didn't think anything in Fort Worth would ever be foreclosed. I was in shock.
Yeah.
Not in Fort Worth, Texas.
Mm-mm. Maybe in San Francisco.
They've got a lot of money in Fort Worth.
Yeah, yeah. And there's,
a lot.
And there's things happening. You know, there's a lot of forward momentum.
Yeah, I mean, it's a busy place.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm shocked by that as well. Yeah, and you talk about construction projects that are abandoned right in the middle of construction, too.
Yeah, they abandoned them. And I don't know what'll happen.
Yeah.
I just don't know.
It's a risky thing for sure.
I don't know if somebody's going to finish it or what they're going to do.
Yeah, they're stuck with it for right now until somebody figures it out,
right.
Which is what makes annuities and life settlements, you know, so attractive. It's like one of those things that, you know, oh boy, you look around, you see all these people that are in real estate and all that are you know, losing their hide every day, but life settlements and annuities moving on and thriving better than ever. So that's the brilliant part of it. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com. I'm a little hoarse today, aren't I?
You've been talking a lot. You have a lot to say.
That's it. That must be it.
Every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic this morning?
I'm going to tell you about a little girl that was 9 years old. Her name was Katie Phillips.
Okay.
She lived on a farm outside of Coleman, Texas. This is a long time ago, 1937. Her dad had a dairy farm. And, of course, now in Coleman, in 37, they had electricity. They even had phones in 37.
Really?
But out on the farm, they had no electricity, no phone. And her dad kept thinking, you know, they got up at 3 o'clock every morning, get all the milk ready, take it to town. But he never did know how many people wanted milk every day because they had no phone, no way to find out. So he goes to town, he talks to the people at the phone company. He said, is there any way you could run me a little line out to the farm? Well, they did it. They ran this one little old line over a creek and everything else.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And his phone number, it was a party line. It was 400 on the line. So then he said, you know, if we just had electricity, I could do this, you know, farm management a lot better. So he went to Washington, D.C., and he talked to him. And he said, how do you get a loan? How do you make an electricity deal? And they said, well, we have loans for you. You're going to have to set up a co-op, electric co-op. He goes home and he talks to all the farmers. He said, okay, we're going to form an electric co-op. I want everybody to put up $5. That's how far back this was.
Wow.
So in 1937, he organized the first co-op. And everybody put up their money. They ran electricity out to the farm. And all of a sudden, you know, they could see everything. She said, you know, you could even see your books at night.
Yeah,
I mean, it changed their lives forever.
They had lights.
And then they had milking machines, had real ones, you know. Instead of them milking by hand all these cows, they got milking machines. So, and then they went down to the store and they got an icebox. But if you remember, way back there, even in small towns, all these small towns had an ice factory. I remember our town had one.
Really?
You would pull up, they'd bring you a big deal of ice out, you'd go home and put it in your refrigerator. This is in the 50s.
Oh, wow.
Because way out in the country, in these little towns, they didn't have those fancy new refrigerators yet.
Mm.
And I remember we bought our first one that had the little ice trays in it.
Ooh.
From Montgomery Ward.
Now that's going
the
back.
Old Monkey Ward.
Oh,
that's where you had to go to get things like that.
Yeah.
There was no other company. It was just Monkey Ward.
Wow.
So I remembered that when this lady was talking about it. And I remembered, you know, we would pull up in the pickup, and they would wrap it with burlap sacks to keep it from melting on the way home.
Wow.
So, anyway, Miss Phillips has been a member of it since 1937 when her father, you know, established that. She's 97 now.
Oh, wow.
She never even took a pill till she was 90.
Really?
Can you imagine if we were that healthy?
Golly, what's her secret?
I don't know. It doesn't tell. But anyway, her and her husband farmed for 66 years.
Wow. That's a long, hard life.
And on their 50th wedding anniversary, she said, I think I'm through. I want to quit farming. And he said, well, what would I have to do to get you to not quit? She said, you buy me an air-conditioned four-wheel drive tractor. And he did.
Oh, wow.
He did. And she's still got it to this day.
Really? Wow.
She kept it all these years. And she's never missed a meeting of the co-op. And she's 97.
Golly. Wow. I hope when I'm 97, I'm still in that shape. Wow.
Yeah, you hope you can go to the co-op meeting, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, she had five kids. And three of them live within shouting distance, and they all belong to the co-op.
Oh, how cool. Wow.
And she still does knitting and quilting, but she watches her beloved Dallas Cowboys. Mm. And they have 5,000 members down there of the co-op.
Do they really?
Yeah.
How cool. Wow.
She said getting electricity was the greatest thing in her life. For a 9-year-old, you know, to be able to see your spelling, your books, and the old kerosene lanterns went out. And I can't remember that in the 30s, they actually had electricity in towns.
Yeah.
But not in the country.
You know, I'm just trying to think. I don't know that when you go from, like, no electricity and then all of a sudden you have it and you realize, oh, wow, you know, like you were saying, you can see your books at night and you can see all these things.
Yeah.
That's a big change to your lifestyle. I don't know that we, in generally speaking, in our lifetime, if we've seen that big of life-altering things. I mean, we've seen neat things happen, cell phones and all that, but I don't know.
Well, I remember out in the country when the electricity came out there, this is in the 50s, and they said, would you like a yard light? Oh my gosh, the farmers all wanted a yard light.
Yeah.
And they gave everybody a yard light.
Yeah.
It was a big deal having that yard light on at night. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
All the farmers got one.
Oh.
It was funny.
That was a big deal.
Had a yard light.
Yeah. I mean, golly. I mean, all of a sudden you can see, and you don't have to rush in before sunset. And yeah.
Well, and you can imagine how dark it is out in the country.
Oh, you know it. Yeah, you don't have.
It is dark.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I have a yard light.
Do you really?
The electric company, when they put all my electricity out here, I said, I need a light out here. And they said, well, just put your yard light out. And I laughed about it. I said, after all these years, we've come back full circle on getting a yard light.
And the importance and the excitement of it hasn't changed.
It has not changed. You've got to have a yard light.
Yeah.
If you live out in the country.
Boy, I mean, yeah, if you, I don't know how many, you know, if you've never been out into the country, you can't really imagine how dark it can
dark it really gets.
Yes. I mean, it's just, it's pitch black kind of dark. Yeah, so
it is. And, you know, I can't imagine, now that we think about it, how people went from this big chunk of ice to refrigerators and those little green ice cube deals.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and they were always green, weren't they?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, little green ice trays.
Yes. And it's like, you know, I remember, you know, back in the old days, you know, my, you know, people out on the farm, they used to have a like, kind of like a, not, it wasn't a mud room, but it was a place where, you know, you'd put your, you know, dirty boots, you know, after, you know, being out and working all day. And then you go in and there's like a couple of deep freezes in there, and they were full of,
that's
of
right.
meat that were actually cut up by the butcher. So
yeah, everybody had a meat place.
Yeah.
And I remember how cold it was. And you'd go in there, and they've got your meat back there in your name, and you take some of it home, because sometimes the deep freeze won't hold it all.
Yeah, yeah.
So they'll keep some of it for you right there. But every year, they'll butcher a steer for you mm-hmm. and put it aside.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you go pick it up, and you and they have it all chunked up in the I think it was like
and
white paper.
And they have it and the name is on every package, what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all identified, and some person actually wrote it with like a Sharpie, a pen.
You'll know what it is.
Yeah, well, not some fancy label that you know came out of a machine.
They didn't have fancy labels back in
No, they didn't. And you'd go through that, and it would be just meat that was just packed in there for, you know, for months on end.
And they would ask, how many steaks do you want?
Mm-hmm.
How much hamburger? How many roasts do you want?
Yep.
And then they would cut it accordingly.
Yeah. And you go pick it up, take it home.
Yeah.
And, wow.
Go put it in your deep freeze. Yeah.
I want to call it the good old days. And some of it really actually
and
was.
I don't know when they started having deep freezes either. I don't remember.
Yeah. I don't remember that either. But I know
I just know that everybody got one.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you had to have one.
Yeah,
and you had to have a place for your meat.
I don't know if people have deep freezes anymore. I think they have, you know, it's all like the big fancy refrigerators with, you know, things that do stuff on our phones with our fridge, and you know it's
oh,
all
yeah.
that. So
and the phones are connected to the refrigerators. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty crazy.
Well, it's like now. Remember back in when we were like younger. You'd open the refrigerator, and you know your mom or dad would walk in and say, "Close the door. We're not trying to cool that.
We can't cool the world."
Yeah.
Yes, I remember that.
And so now you can look inside. You can stand there with the refrigerator door open. You don't have to do that anymore. You look what's in the fridge on your phone. It's weird.
That's right. I mean, if something goes wrong, you go to your phone. And you look up what could be wrong.
Yeah.
It's all right there. We've come a long way.
Yeah. Oh, wow. And I don't know that some of it, I mean, it's neat, but I don't know that it's all been actual progress. So we kind of got away.
We actually had an ice cream factory.
Really?
That made the ice cream right there.
Oh, wow.
And that was neat.
That was.
Yeah, you just go in there, and you could hear everything running back in the back. And you'd tell them what kind of ice cream, and get up there in a stool or a booth and have ice cream right there.
Yeah, yeah. And you know it was fresh. It was just made.
It was just made.
Yeah. Oh, wow. And it seemed like it was always so creamier, too. It tasted
it
better.
Was. And rich. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
It was really rich.
Yeah, we also lived near a guy that made apple cider. I mean, he had like his house, and then out back he had a building with like all the I don't think they're called stills, but you know it's not like moonshine, but you know whatever it was. And you'd order, you'd walk in and say, "I want a gallon of apple cider." He would take an empty jug, go put it under the little spigot, and it was like fresh right there. So, yeah, oh boy. And then you start throwing out Montgomery Ward. Wow, that took me back.
Did that take you back?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
That was the first thing I remember, that everybody bought everything from Montgomery Ward.
Yeah. That was your go-to for everything. Wow. Oh, I hadn't thought about that in years. Well, look at that. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
Look at that. Not only are we talking about money moving forward, but we took a little trip down memory lane. That's neat.
That's right. I thought a little memory deal like that would be fun for us.
Oh, it is. Yes. I mean, throwing out words and things that I hadn't thought of in years. That's fun. I like that. Okay, before we wrap up, with a life settlement, there are two risks. What is the first risk people need to know?
The largest risk is it could go over. Make sure what the premiums are when you go into it. And that's going to be on that fifth page from the end. It'll tell you what the face amount of the policy is, what kind of cancer it is, whether it's a male or female, what their age is. It'll tell you if it goes over what the premiums will be. Everything you need to know is on that page.
Okay. And the second?
The second is, remember, it's not liquid till it matures. And when it matures, it becomes liquid. It's going to go in your bank account.
And to do a life settlement, one does need to be accredited. So what does that
mean? You must be accredited. You must make $200,000 a year, or you must be worth $1 million without your house.
Okay. For annuities, there are still some qualifications, but they're not quite as strict, right?
They're not as strict. They still have some things that you must make sure. You've got to have plenty of living expense money. You need some cash in the bank. You can't take all your cash, everything you've got, and put in an annuity.
And just real quick, because I know we talk about people, you know, all the time that want to do life settlements, but they don't necessarily think they're accredited. What does that, it does, let me see, I'm going to probably get this wrong, so you need to correct me. It includes pretty much everything except your main residence? Is that?
That's right.
Okay.
Everything. Like if you've got cattle, if you've got a ranch, horses, or let's say you own a business. You own a mechanic shop. Those are assets. Let's say you've got treasury bonds. That'd be a switch, wouldn't it?
Mm.
Let's say you know you've got a brokerage account. That's that you use that. Let's say you've got an IRA. That's an asset. And whatever you've got, everything counts except your home.
Rental property, that counts as well?
Yes, rental property. I've got several people got 7 or 8 properties.
Hmm. Okay. All right. So, yeah, everything except your main residence. Okay. And it is worth people going back and looking just to make sure. Some people, you know, do some rough math in their head. They're not sure that they're actually accredited. They kind of get discouraged. Maybe they don't fall through. So it is actually worth, you know, actually adding up your assets, because you've had people before that didn't think they were accredited and they actually were. So.
That's right.
All right. So for people to get started, get more information, whatever they need to do, they do need to make an appointment. And so one last time, Faye, what is your phone number?
877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.